The whole idea that we're dealing with tonight in terms of what happens in the historical context of Daniel and his three friends deals with an idea that is talked about much later in Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." What is before us here tonight in Daniel chapter 1, where we're going to pick up this evening in our study, is a literary and historical portrait of this idea. Right? There is this constant threat upon every single person that lives in this world today and that has ever lived at any point in time in human history to have their mind formed in one direction or another. Right? The mind and the heart are what control a person. And the mind and the heart are always under the assault of two contrasting areas. One is of the world and one is of God. And what you determine to believe in your mind and in your heart, what you choose to allow yourself to be controlled by and transformed into, is what will ultimately determine the course of your life. Your beliefs or your ethics ultimately determine the way that you live, right? That is what is true about all of us. So there is this constant battle, and you know this battle began all the way back in the garden. Right? When the serpent slithered in there and he said to Eve, "Has God really said?" Right? He began to put this idea out there that you can be conformed to one way of thinking or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we all know what Eve chose and what Adam chose, right? And now there's been this continual struggle from that point on then to be conformed into the natural system of the world, to be conformed into its idolatry, to be conformed into everything that it stands for, or as those people that say we love God and we cherish him, to have what is natural in us constantly being changed into who God is and what God believes in. Right? That is an ongoing struggle, right? And that problem is before all of us, and one of the things that we need to just be reminded of is there is no neutral. Okay, you're either being conformed into the image of the world or you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, imitating the image and likeness of Christ. There's no like neutral, there's no coast, there's no cruise control, okay? Because we're constantly being bombarded from the world around us, and the truth of the matter is that our greatest enemy is right here, right? Our flesh, our natural person wants to lead us away from the things of God and in towards things of sin. So tonight really is a historical picture. Like, what is that idea? What is this verse of don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? What does that look like in historical practice, okay? So if you look with me at Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 5, this is what we read. I'll start actually in verse 3. "The king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and who, by whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they may serve before the king. Now from among those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of eunuchs gave them names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego." All right, so that's where we'll be starting here tonight. I want to talk first about what unfolds here. And this, if you want to jot some notes down up here, the methodology of indoctrination. If you were here with us last week, and if you weren't, you can probably, did that one get recorded, Bonnie? Did you ever find out? Okay, so you can go and listen to the sermon from last week on our website. If you didn't catch, that was kind of an introduction to Daniel. But what I said last week, that I'll just remind you of briefly, is that the nation that came before Babylon were the Assyrians. And they ruled by force and by terror. Okay, their idea was, like I said last week, shock and awe, right? Everything that is horrible and horrendous that you can do to control and to torture and to fear people psychologically, that's what they did. The Babylonians were strong, they were mighty, they had a massive empire, but they came at things a little bit differently. And one of the ways that they did this was by taking the nobility, by taking the children of the nobility, the children of the kings, and the very best that the nation had to offer, and they indoctrinated them into the Babylonian ways. That way, they not only made them useful to the Babylonian Empire, but they also, at the same time, would slowly, within a generation or two, if the people bought in, they would slowly erase Hebrew heritage. right? Because these people would become Babylonian in the way that they talked. They become Babylonian in the way that they believed and in the way they acted. And so it was a much more subtle and honestly, in some cases, much more effective way of eradicating different people groups and indoctrinating them in a new way. Okay, and so you see a little bit as to how that goes, because you and I all know if the TV network tried to tell you something, or the government tries to tell you something, or even honestly, one of your friends tries to force you to do something, what is our natural reaction? No, right? Right? We stiffen our neck and we're like, you're not telling me what to do. So if a nation comes in trying to tell you exactly what to do, most of us would resist, at least for a period of time. Maybe we'd resist for a long time. But if it's a forceful, in-your-face attempt, you're kind of like, no. But what if there's another way? And this is what the Babylonians learned and kind of perfected and what we see laid out here. So this takes place in three ways as to how this worked. The first one is education. Education. The verses 3 and 4 tell us that Babylon took the best, the brightest that Israel had to offer. They had to be handsome. They had to be from families of nobility. They had to have quick learning skills. And they had to be the very best of everything that Israel had to offer. And they would take these men into their cities, and they would teach them language and writing. Now, this is not a cultural appreciation course. Like, this is what Babylon contributed to the world, and this is what's nice about them, and this is why our language is beautiful. You can learn it in comparison to ours. No, this was total indoctrination. Okay, when it talks about teaching them their literature and their language, they're trying to make them Babylonian through and through, from the words that come out of their mouth to the things that they believe in their hearts. That was the whole intention of what this course was all about. They were doing this not only to strengthen their own nation, but also, like I mentioned, to eradicate Hebrew roots. Now, this is not a simple process, though. So how would you do that? How would you take a person and who's maybe 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, somewhere in that age bracket where most people think Daniel and his three friends were in that age group, how do you take someone in those formative years and completely change their values and their language and the things that they value? How do you do that? Well, one of the things you see first here is education. Education. You can't just do this like that, okay? It takes time. And so you see mentioned here in the text, this was a 3-year training period, right? It specifically mentions it. They would be gathered into the king's palace, and the eunuchs would be put over them. And this course of study was 3 years. So for 3 years, they're learning language, they're learning culture, they're learning food, and they're constantly surrounding these four men today with everything that the nation loved and everything that the nation stood for. Okay, there's a full-on, in-depth, immersive 3-year education that they went through. You can learn an awful lot in a couple of years, can't you? You can be changed completely in a couple of years. There's a lot of different groups that try to radicalize people, and they do it in a very short window of time, and they do it by full-on immersive education. Okay? And you and I know how much can be learned in a short window of time at a college or a university or even at high school and middle school level educations. There's a short window of time can accomplish an awful lot when it's all day, every day, and it's immersive. So for 3 years, this is what was going on in these men's lives. Now, most of them would cave quickly. But these men show us an exception, and that is that they stood fast. Now, let me just remind you here about something that I mentioned at the beginning, that there's absolutely nothing in our world that's neutral, okay? Things are either for God or they're against God. Okay, it's not like you can just be like, I'll just ride down the middle, I'll just coast, right? Just stop and think with me, right? If you turn on your TV, is someone trying to indoctrinate you with something? If you get on social media, is someone trying to indoctrinate you with something? Everywhere that we go, right? You sit down and have lunch with a friend. You see the posters hanging in the restaurants. You see different things all around you. It's constantly, we're being bombarded to be changed into a new direction, aren't we? Like the very algorithms that social media is based upon is to direct our attentions and to direct what we see and to direct what we read. Even search engines, you type something in, they're trying to direct you in a certain direction. Right? They're not trying to just give you the results of everything. They're trying to point you in certain directions, right? And this is not to freak you out or to panic you. It's just to remind you that you're like, well, I'm not in a 3-year intensive Babylonian corruption program. Yeah, but you are being bombarded all day long. every single day. Someone is trying to change you and direct you, and they're either trying to change and direct you towards things away from God, or if they are faithful, they're trying to point you back to God so that your mind can be renewed as you are transformed from the inside out. You just need to be aware of this. It's not like you can be like, well, I know what I believe, and nobody can change my mind. That doesn't work like that. You're constantly being tweaked each and every day that you live here on this earth. And that's what I want you to know. I want you to be reminded of this, is that we have to have attention in our hearts. We have to have attention in our minds. Okay? There's no coasting. There's no neutrality to anything in our world. Everything from pop brands to car companies to public and private and homeschools, everything about our whole entire world is trying to direct us in one direction or the other. The question is, especially as those that love and profess to have Jesus as our Savior and the one who we adore the most, are our influences that we allow into our lives, are they directing us towards Christ or away from Him? We're constantly being educated in one direction or the other. This is not a new struggle. Let me just remind you of this too. This is not like, oh, this is an American problem. This is a current presidential administration problem. This is a current media problem. This has been going on for forever that we've been on this earth. Ever since the fall happened, there's been this constant desire of men to walk away from God. And there's a few group of people throughout the whole of human history that love God and cherish Him that are trying to further be transformed towards Him. This has been happening now for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. So you could look at the same type of thing happening in the nation of Israel's history or at any other point. So don't just think like this is an American problem because it's 2021, right? This has been going on for a long time. Is it in our face a lot? Sure. But this is a common human problem. Take, for example, schooling. There's a lot of different ways to educate your kids and to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, right? I think we can all agree that there's different ways to do it. There's not one way that's right, okay? But you have to be reminded that each educational model has its own unique pitfalls. And each and every unique model has some area that leads children towards natural things rather than towards the things of God. Everyone does. And this is why parents must take an active role in discipling their kids. It doesn't matter which educational model that you pick. You still have to be actively engaged in directing them towards Christ day after day after day after day, right? Because there's always something trying to change them. Kids have their own tendencies, just like we have our own tendencies. And you're like, well, my education model is great for keeping kids away from the influence of the world, but you know who your kid's worst enemy is a lot of days? Themselves, because they have a sin nature in them, right? So you have to think carefully about this. We cannot be passive in this world. These four men show us a very intense picture, but this same thing is happening to all of us all the time. Education is the way that people are indoctrinated, and I'm telling you that people are trying to educate us, whether it be subtly or in your face all the time, and we have to be aware as we live in this world. A second thing we see here is that they used favor, and we could also describe this as provision. They took care of their physical needs, and they showed them good. The Babylonians knew something else about the human condition, and that is this: change is not easily accepted, but favor and pleasures are. Let me say that again, right? They know something about the human condition. That is, change is not easily accepted, but pleasures and favor are. So how do you get people, like, for instance, four Hebrew men, to receive the instruction, to receive what Babylon is trying to promote? How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, the first thing that you do is you surround them with everything good they could possibly want. That's what's being described here, isn't it? They put them in the king's palace, in verse 5, and they appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank. For 3 years, these guys weren't getting crusty bread and stale water in a prison cell, were they? Everything that the king ate, what did they eat? All the best, right? All the delicacies of the king, everything the king had to eat, everything the king had to drink, they were bombarded with favor. If I took you over to my house and cooked you up a nice prime rib, would you refuse? unless you're like a vegetarian, then you maybe would. But most of you would be like, here, I cooked you a roast. Here, I cooked you Sunday potatoes, right? I just, you lay the feast out for people. People are going to be like, no, that's okay. I really don't want that, right? If you show favor and generosity towards someone, they receive it, and it actually endears you to their hearts. Right? That's something that we all know and understand. They didn't put these guys in cells waiting to break them psychologically. It's not like they were waterboarding them and not feeding them and using electric shock or something to, you know, torture them. They said, no, let's show them favor. Let's show them that we are their friends. Let's do good to them. And so that's exactly what they did. It's even more amazing because it shows us the courage of these men. The more that you do good to people, the more